Thank God.
So we've been in a series called Health to All Their Flesh, and we've been taking Proverbs 4 as the main text. So go ahead and turn over there, Proverbs 4, verse 20. The Proverbs are so rich with wisdom. Solomon wrote a good number of them. And it's good just to read continually through the Proverbs. It'll give you wisdom in life, wisdom with practical everyday things, business, dealing with people, dealing with relationships, just dealing with different situations in life. There's just so much there. It tells you how to live life. I mean, the whole Word of God is good, but the Proverbs are just rich in that area, specifically dealing with the affairs of life. There are a lot of things in Proverbs that people are neglecting, and their answers are right there, and it's not that long. You know, there's 31 chapters, or 31, you know, sections, books, chapters in my Bible. I don't have that big of a, my pages aren't that big. So what's that, like 28 pages? Not even a page. Yeah. 28 pages, not even a page, a chapter. That's hardly anything. If somebody gave you a book that was 28 pages long and said, read this, I'd be like, that's nothing. You realize some of the greatest truths, answers to normal questions, I mean, practical in 2017, just as practical. The answers, people's questions, things that they're dealing with in their business, things they're dealing with. Just in everyday affairs are right there. Answers to questions for our country are right there. It's amazing. I'd encourage you, if you're not already doing it, just read through the Proverbs. But Proverbs 4, 20 through, we'll probably read through 24. This is some of that wisdom right here. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." And talking about wisdom, this is wisdom. And we've talked about this in different ways, but it says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, this right here, people are not doing this. And this right here would answer so many questions and so many people would get the answers to so many things if they would just do this, and that's look to the Word of God. It says, "For they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." He says in verse 20, "Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." You know, Shelley and I were talking today. I had to think, was that today or yesterday? But we were just talking today how just going to church, we were talking about going out on dates originally, and then we went to this. But like, you know, just going out on a date every week, it just, you know, there's like a checkpoint where you're going to go out with this person if you're mad at them. You're either going to cancel the date, or you're going to go there and it's going to be uncomfortable. And either way, it's going to be in your face that you need to make an adjustment. So it's like a checkup. But then we were talking about how just going to church every 3 days. You know, there's a lot of people don't go to church, period. But a lot of people don't go to church midweek. And I really think it's a good thing to go midweek. And before I ever was a pastor, I may get a lot out of it being a pastor when I'm preaching. It's just amazing. But God ministers to me too. It's supernatural. But just going to church, same thing. If you have to go before God, I mean, you have your own private time. You should be reading the Bible. But, you know, things can get busy. But if you're going to be at church and you're going to hear the anointed word of God preached and you're open, it's hard to get too far from God. Because you're going to now, it doesn't matter what's going on here, you're going to come and you're going to sit. I mean, unless, even if you were hard-headed on the way in, you're going to hear, pray, you're going to have praise and worship that's going to glorify God, get your mind off the stuff that's going on out here, and then you're going to hear the Word of God, and this is not the same as reading it by yourself. God ordained both of them. It's different. There's an anointing on here that God ordained, and He's speaking to us, and it's coming from somewhere else. Yes, when you read the Word of God, it is Him speaking to you, if you'll listen. But then there's another thing where it's coming from outside, even what's going on in your head, the Holy Spirit directly speaking to you. It's coming in another way to you, and you have to be really hard-headed to leave here the same way you came in. And if you are kind of drifting, you know, you've been just, because we all hit points where, you know, you just don't feel, you know, when you don't feel like reading the Bible, when you don't feel like going to church, that's when you need to go. And if you're just made up your mind, you're going, there's this, it's like bumpers in your life. You know? You guys, I know you bowl. I'm not a bowler. If I ever go with you guys, some of you guys have gone with me, and I'm not a bowler, let alone a candlepin bowler. But when I do go, I go with my kids, and guess what that means? We have bumpers on the lane. So you know what? My score is a lot better. Because if I get off and I'm going this way, and normally it'd be a gutter ball, whoop, boop, I can hit it. Sometimes you get a strike because it bounces and it comes back the right way. Well, that's the way it is. I mean, if you just make up your mind, I'm going to church, whether you feel like it or not, you could be headed this way, but boop, you just go right back into the center because you put yourself in a position to hear the word. And you're open. And it'll keep you on. I mean, you know, you heard me say this before probably, but I mean, when we were, before I was ever, we were ever pastoring a church, when we would just be at church in Lincoln, Nebraska, when I would go to church, or when we were at Rhema, you know, you can't, it's hard to stay mad at somebody. You know, you may go into the service kind of like a little bit in a fight or something. I'm not saying all the time, but I'm thinking of something Julia said this morning. I'll skip it. Now you ought to hear it. I tell it myself. Well, okay, so you guys know we're not perfect. We already know that. But we were talking, Julia says, she goes, she had said yesterday or sometime, she said, one of my New Year's resolution is to not fight anymore. And so this morning she was saying, you know, I have a bunch of New Year's resolutions. You want me to tell you some of them? I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I already told you this one, that I'm not going to fight anymore. And she said, you know, I mean, it probably won't, and I can't remember exactly how she said it, but it was like, well, we won't fight. I mean, it's not that I won't fight ever. I mean, maybe once in a while, like you guys do. Once in a while. I mean, she knows it, because I'll say, we'll tell them. We'll say, you know, how often do Mommy and Daddy ever get in a fight? And they'll say, I said, if we got in a fight sometimes as often as you guys, I mean, you guys would hate it. I mean, because, you know, kids will go out. I said, you guys rarely see us. I'm not saying that to put us up. I'm just, we fight once in a while. It's not often, but we do. We have strong disagreements sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, but it was just funny because she goes, well, and I said, well, I can't, you know, that's as good as you could do. I can't tell you to do any better than that. If you do what we do, then okay, you're doing well. But how did I get off on that? See, now, what was I saying? What was I saying? Oh, I know what I'm saying. Okay, so going to church, like in Lincoln or at Rhema, you know, if you're tempted, especially we'd lead praise and worship, together like we do now, but you know, if you're in a fight with each other, it's hard to get up and lead praise and worship. And I was the leader at that time. I would get up and sing and lead, and Shelly was backup, but man, you go up there. So we'd have to get stuff fixed. If you didn't get it up before you were going to rehearse, you needed to get it before you went out there to lead praise and worship. Or you needed to do it on stage and be like, all right, Lord, forgive me, because it's hard. You can't yield to the anointing when you're like mad. But we would go, and I'm telling you, if we would show up, and by the time, even if you got through that, or we weren't leading or whatever, and you're sitting through a sermon, it'll soften your heart. You're hearing the word of God so that you're like, it's not that big a deal. Will you forgive me? And by the time you leave, you're good. Well, it works in every area. This is wisdom. You just, what we're talking about here, my son, give attention to my ear and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Well, this is one way we do it. You know, we just set up these bumpers in our life, we won't get off. It's not, you're not doing it legalistically. Because that's not going to do you any good. If you're sitting there just because you think you have to, well, you're not going to get much anyway. But that's better than not coming still. Because you know why? You open up yourself to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. So we read through this, spend some time here. For they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. See, keep your heart with all diligence. It means you have to stay on it. If you start drifting and start getting lazy about it, your heart is going to drift. Keep your heart with all diligence. You have to purposefully stay on top of this thing. Watch how you're thinking and saying and what you're doing. And, you know, I wish it wasn't like that. I wish we would just get going. And once we got up to a certain speed, you just hit autopilot. I don't know anything about autopilot other than that right there. I don't even know if there's a real button or anything, but Pete does probably a little bit. He's been around some. But I wish you could just go and then, you know, you would just stay spiritually built up, but it's not that way. It's not that way. We leak, and we need to put these things in our life so we stay strong. And just because you were strong in an area at one time does not mean you're strong in an area today unless you've done something to maintain it. I'm going to use your name again because I know you like to garden. And again, I don't know anything about gardening other than what I saw my mom do. I do know this. If you do not keep the weeds out of your garden or out of your lawn or anything, I didn't have a garden, but I know, you know, especially when I was in Oklahoma, I had landscaping and I had mulch. And if you did not keep the weeds out of your mulch, pretty soon it looks really bad. Now, I would go around and I'd use, not Roundup, but it was something like that. And I enjoyed going around and as soon as I'd see something, spraying it. But you had to do that. You had to. Or else you had to have something barrier. But I'm telling you, Christians don't want it. A lot of people don't want to hear this. They just want it to be like, well, I'm good. I mean, I've gotten to the point and I'm just going to cruise. You will cruise downhill, that's right. If you're not going, if you're not pushing and trying and purposefully maintaining, you'll go backwards. This is wisdom right here. Because some people are thinking, I just want to keep going. I don't want to do anything, but I want to stay spiritually built up. That's like saying, I want to stay full, but I don't want to eat any food. You know, if you went to your doctor, man, I'm just so hungry. My stomach hurts. You went in there and first thing you said, my stomach hurts. Well, he checks you out. It just hurts. Well, and he finally gets to, have you eaten anything? Well, no. Make it go away. Well, go home and eat something. Well, I don't want to eat anything. I just want it to go away, and I don't ever want to feel like, have my stomach feel bad again. The doctor look at you, and then if you told anybody else, they'd look at you and go, you're a nut. Go eat something. Quit complaining and just go eat something and you'll feel better. Yep. Right?
Right.
Why don't Christians get that sometimes as believers? Well, just my belief, I don't know about God. I don't know. I used to feel fine. My faith was strong, but you know, I just don't feel like God is real, and I don't know if I believe in healing anymore. And what? Just shut up and go eat something. It's the same thing. I feel empty. I don't feel good. I don't feel strong. Well, what have you been doing? What have you been thinking on? Are we doing what it says here? Are we putting something in us? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That means it's the life source. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Put away from you coming at it from a little different angle, there's some things I believe we'll get here in a minute, but we're talking about this just being wisdom. If you just look at this as wisdom, any one of these things we just said could change somebody's life completely. This one right here, put away from you a deceitful mouth, a devious mouth, the margin of my Bible says, put perverse lips far from you. Put perverse lips far from you. Well, I just don't know why I'm feeling bad. Well, what have you been saying? Do you realize you're feeling it? You start saying the wrong thing, even if you feel pretty good, you'll start feeling bad. You'll start feeling... If you start giving in to saying things that are negative about your situation just because the thought popped into your head, just maybe you feel something, pretty soon it'll make you feel worse. Well, what are all these things? They're maintenance. They're disciplines. They're part of the Christian life. Discipline is not a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. You have flesh and I have flesh, and it just wants to do whatever it wants to do. We just got done with, you know, the holiday season, and there's some temptation not to, you know, keep your flesh in check in different ways. And your flesh just wants to do whatever it wants to do, and it takes discipline and takes staying full of the Word to make it go where it needs to go. Amen? I wish it would just do what it's supposed to do with no effort, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It will do what it's told to do once you train it to do it. And then your flesh likes to say, "Oh, look what we did." No, you didn't have anything to do with it. It was up to you. We'd be doing nothing. You ever notice that? You don't want to work out? I don't want to work out. I'm going to go lay on the couch. And you make it work out. Boy, we did well. Look, we got the workout done. Shut up. You didn't have anything to do with it. We listened to you. We're on the couch. But now that we got it done, we did really well. No, we didn't. We didn't have anything to do with it. Your flesh just wants to do what it wants to do. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn over to Matthew 8. Now, this is an area we're going to talk about. Let's read Matthew 8, verse 1. Matthew 8, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now skip down. We're going to read a couple different passages and then go through some of these. Skip down to verse 14. We read the other part. In between here, we spent some time on the centurion's servant. But we're going to skip past that because we already covered that a little bit. Verse 14, if you didn't hear that, go back and listen to the messages. Verse 14 says, and now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with the fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and they cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So you can see from these two parts of the scripture, there's a lot of stuff in here, but one thing that you can see clearly is that it's God's will to heal people. He is willing to heal everyone. If you look at verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, now what's he saying? He's saying, Lord, he believes that Jesus has the power to heal him. Doesn't he? He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What's he hung up on? He doesn't believe that Jesus is willing. He's not sure. He knows that if Jesus wants to do it, he can do it. Question, is Jesus willing? Because if he wants to, if he's willing, then it's done. Because there's no question. So he has a degree of faith, right? There's a lot of other people that don't believe it's even possible. He says, if you want to do it, you can do it. He believes God can, but that's not enough to get healed. Did you hear me? Yes. It's not enough to believe that God can if you're going to get healed by faith. What do I mean? Well, by a move of the Holy Spirit, you say, well, by a move of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, you can be healed without your faith. You say, why does God do some of those things? I don't know. Ask God. But there's evidence in the Word. If you go through the different incidents in the Gospels of people that got healed, more than half of them, it mentions faith, the person's faith, or some degree of faith. But then there's other ones that, if it was up to the person, it's obvious they didn't believe anything, and they got healed anyway. But if you're going to get healed by your faith, but meaning that you believe what Jesus has already done, and so you're going to receive it. When I say believe and get healed by your faith, I don't mean it's you that heals you. I'm not lifting up your faith. What I'm saying is, if you're going to be healed based on the fact that you believed God for something, you're making a demand on what he already did, then you're going to need to believe some stuff. And it's not enough to believe that God can. You can die believing that God can do something. You can go to hell believing that God can save. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to believe that he can save. You have to believe that Jesus went to the cross and he already paid for it, and he does save now, and if you call on him, he will save. That's what you need to believe. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you believe in the heart, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have to believe that and act on it. You can say, well, I believe God could save me, but I just don't know if he's willing, and you can go to hell. Well, you know what? You can die. You can deal with a medical condition, and it's not enough to believe that God can and get healed. Did you know that? It's not enough. This man came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So obviously the leper didn't believe. He came, he wasn't sure. But there's a lot of people that follow that same pattern. Instead of looking at the fact that Jesus was willing to heal. If you look down in verse 14, verse 14 says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, so his mother-in-law, lying sick with the fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. I think we have to go back to the first part. We'll get to this part, but let's go back and look at the leper. I think we're going too fast past this. When he had come down, let's look at verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. If you're willing. And there are people that are not sure about this. Even though they say they've heard the word of faith on healing, and they would tell you they've heard it for years, and they know that it's God's will to heal. Yet they, when push comes to shove, they don't actually believe that it's God's will to heal them now. Did you hear me? If you don't believe it's God's will to heal you now, when is he going to heal you? When is he going to get willing? See, people won't say it like this, but that's the same emphasis, it's coming from the same direction as not believing he's willing. Are you with me? If you don't believe, people will say, well, I believe it. I'm past the point of believing that it's God's will. I've heard that it's God's will. I've been taught. I've heard messages on it. So I believe it's God's will. I know it's God's will. That's not a problem for me. But then when you talk about, so it's God's will for you to heal. He's healed. He has made the sacrifice, and he has paid the price. And so everything that's going to be done has been done, and it's his will for you to be healed right at this moment. Well, yes, but I don't know why it hasn't happened yet, or I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what God's doing. See, if it goes into timing, then that's of the same flavor as not really being fully convinced that he wants you well this instant. Because, folks, if he doesn't want you well this instant, when in your life is he going to get willing? What's going to change? And let me ask you this question. If he's not willing and completely, if it's not right now, not 10 years from now, not a year from now, if it's not now, then look back 100 years in a person that was living that was your age, and 100 years ago they were going through a similar thing that you were, then was it God's will to heal them then, or was it going to be 5 years later? Because if it's 5 years later, that's 95 years ago for you. So it's in the past. When did God get, if he was going to wait 5 years for that person, that's in your past. So if he got willing, well, then he's still willing in your life. But see, it doesn't make any sense. What the enemy will tell you is, well, it's just you're not there yet. Well, when are you going to get there? You're only going to be on this earth for so long. Then you don't have to worry about it because you're going to be in heaven. But he'll push it out. You know what that is? It's subtle. It's subtle, but people, see, they have head knowledge. So it's I've heard that. So I believe. I know it's God's will for me to be well. But then listen, and maybe if these words have come out of your mouth, just listen to what the word says, and we can make adjustments. Okay, this is not condemnation at all. But I've heard it, you know, over my life, and I've grown up around these things, and not that I have all the answers or I've arrived. I'm not saying that, but. But you hear people that say, well, yeah, I know it's God's will, but, and then they're going to tell you why something isn't there yet. But if you listen, it doesn't sound too much different than it's like God isn't quite convinced, or something isn't lined up, so it's not right. So You could almost rephrase it that God hasn't quite made up his mind that he's willing now. It's subtle. But when you get down to it, if you were to say, no, it's right now, it's already happened, there's nothing I'm waiting for, amen. It's now. God said it, so I receive it now. There's no difference. When you start pushing on that black and white, it locates. Because people say, whoa, wait, wait. But I'm not, and what it is not that much different from this leper. I believe he can. See, it comes down to, I believe he can. Now, I don't know why it hasn't happened yet, but I know he can, and so I'm just going to stay here. Well, that's not a whole lot different than, Lord, if you're willing, you can. Mm-hmm. It's not that much different. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
It sounds... because we've heard. I mean, we're in 2017, okay? We're not in 1968. I was not born yet in 1968 or early 70s. I was born early 70s. But the word of faith and the message, I mean, it wasn't new on the earth, but technology was getting there to where, and people were starting to hear it. So Brother Hagin was not the first person to preach on divine healing. There was a healing revival in the late 40s and 50s, and there were many people that were preaching on divine healing. There was a healing revival, and there were people that carried this message, and there was a revival of knowledge of the Word of God, and that you could believe God and take Him at His Word, and you could see things change. And it would, but then when it started to get out and the message got out, it was like, well, you know, there was so much religion and denominations in place. People were in denominational churches, so these messages started to get in. They had meetings outside the church in tents or in auditoriums, or like Brother Hagin did go to churches, but you know, you didn't have like Word of Faith churches because you didn't have churches that just speak on these things every week. There wasn't a lot of that. So when people heard the word, it was new. A lot of people had no, they thought, and it still exists today in a lot of places, they thought that they didn't realize at all that it was God's will. They thought God was the problem in a lot of areas, and there's whole denominations that still believe God is putting on the sickness. Okay? So the idea that it's actually God is willing to heal you was relatively new. There are people that knew about it, obviously, and were preaching it, but when people heard it, you were dealing with, wait a minute, no, I mean, God is willing to heal me? So it was such a new thing. And so now fast forward, we've heard, I mean, the word's been preached. Now you have churches. This one is a church as an example, that you have people that went to Bible school, that heard the word, that you hear this type of message every week. So it's not like this message is just coming out left field and now, whoa, you mean it's God's will for me to be healed? So people have heard it. They've maybe heard messages from, you name the different people. You know, Brother Hagin or Andrew Womack or Kenneth Copeland or Jesse Duplantis or Keith Moore, you know, Joyce Meyer, different people where, well, no, we've heard that it's God's will. We know all that, and it's like we're past that. We're not one of those people in the denominations that are just hearing that it's God's will to hear it. Well, we heard that 40 years ago. We know that, Jim, but see what it is, it's really subtle. It's not just hearing. Well, see, I'm not completely green, so I understand that it's God's will. But let me tell you my problem, and what we've done is fool ourselves into thinking because we heard something and we're not in that position where we had never heard it and now we heard it. We're not in that position, so we think we know it because we've heard it for four decades. The thing is, the result is very similar, and our mentality is actually almost the same. You would, if somebody were to ask a lot of people in these areas, is it God's will to heal? The immediate answer would say, of course, I know that. And they would get adamant about it and maybe even get, you know, in an argument about it if somebody were to dare say it's not God's will. You don't understand what the Word says. And, you know, the Bible does not say to debate. And people get in arguments over that. And you know what some of that is? It's head knowledge, but when we come to walking certain things out, we know that, we've heard that, but then when it comes down to it, is God willing? The practical application in a lot of cases is, well, I know the Word, I've heard the Word, I know I've heard the messages, I know I can show you Matthew 8:17, I can show you this verse on the leper, and I can show you Mark 16:15, but it's just, you know, I'm not there. Well, what's the difference? In the mind, there's not that much difference. We're still not convinced that it's God's will to heal me right now, that in fact He already did it, that there is no time lapse that's necessary, that we don't have to wait another millisecond, that anything that needed to be done was already done, that I can receive right now, get up and say, that's it. I'm never looking back. As far as the Word says, I'm healed. I take God at His Word, and I don't have to wait. And if there are any thoughts about waiting or figuring out when, or any thought about, well, why hasn't this happened, that I reject it and say, no, it's done. He's willing as He's ever going to get. He's not going to get any more willing. If I have to wait for Him to get willing, I'm going to be dead. It's done. Amen. That's the switch that a lot of people have not flipped. Mm-hmm. It's strong, in-your-face faith. It doesn't make excuses. It says now. It's done now. I'm not moving now. I don't care what it looks like. That doesn't mean God has not shown up. That doesn't mean God's not willing. It means that I am taking God at His Word and I'm not moving, and it has to change because God's Word never returns void. Amen. Are you with me? It's a subtle thing. The enemy's tricky. He tries to get you to go into the waiting game. If he gets you to go into the waiting game, then he has you. Now, the Bible says to wait on the Lord. That doesn't mean to sit back and do nothing. It means to go before God. To keep your mind on God. It doesn't mean wait. You realize in any situation, it's never God's move now. I mean, let me say, that God has a move. A lot of it, He's already done. But even when it's His move, He's already seen ahead. And as soon as you get ready, His move's already done. You're never really waiting for Him. You think you're waiting for Him, and He's already got this thing planned 10 years in advance, and it's just sitting here waiting, and He knows the millisecond you actually get to your point, His move's done. Because it's just like you come around the corner, and boom, it's done. Now it's your move again. Seriously. He's never. People think, well, I'm waiting for Him. Yeah. No, you're not. Yeah. No, I'm not. Right. Believe me, I've thought, well, I'm waiting on God. No, I realize, no, I'm not. We're not waiting for Him. What's He waiting for? He knows that. I mean, what if He were waiting, what is He waiting for? Because we're going to die if He doesn't take, you know, we only have so much time. I mean, seriously, think about it. You know, some person is X number of years, and the way religion thinks is God is just making them wait another 5 years until God moves. What's the good of that? Right. What, they're going to just kill 5 years of their life? For what? Because then they're going to just that closer to leaving the planet, and then they're no good to God. I mean, on the earth, in heaven, great. Can't do anything on the earth anymore. Mm-hmm. No, He's not waiting. God is never wasting that much time. You realize it?
Right.
He's never wasting even everything. If you're in God's plan, you're doing what you need to do to get prepared for the next thing. And He's not, there is no just waiting around. There is no hurry up and wait in God's realm. I know there is in other areas. People, you know, jest companies, the government, or the military, hurry up and wait. And I've been around that stuff. That's not God. He uses things to maximum efficiency. That means he's got you doing something, you're getting prepared for something. Doesn't mean you may not know what the next thing is, but there's no wasted. And if you ever think that you're just waiting for something that he's going to do, and you've done everything you're supposed to do, but God's wait, you're wrong. I'm wrong. And what is he doing waiting? It doesn't even make sense when you, so poor old God, what did he do? He went and took a bathroom break. He didn't know, and it, you know, day is like 1,000 years, so it just took 5 years for him to get back to you. What is, seriously, if you were waiting on him, you had done everything you need to do, and now you're waiting on him, what is he doing? Why would he do that? No, even if you thought you were waiting, there's still something if you're actually in his plan and not just sitting down and going, well, I'm going to wait for God. I guess there's nothing to do. I mean, I've done everything, so I'll just wait. See, that's usually unbelief. That's unbelief. You think you've been duped into thinking that you've done everything so you can sit down and do nothing, and then you really get out of God's plan. But no, the fact is we're not waiting on him. He is willing. Yes. Now? Yes. Everybody say now.
Now.
When's now?
Now.
Well, I thought it was just 2 seconds ago. Is it now? Now. But now, what is it now? I mean, it's always now. Right? So that means now. Well, when I get home, when I get more faith. No, the problem is we got to take it out of the future and start putting in now. I believe now. God is willing now. Mm-hmm. Just say that out loud. Say, God is willing.
God is willing now.
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 Now. Right now.
Right now.
I don't have to wait. Say, I don't have to wait.
I don't have to wait.
Say, I'm not waiting on God.
I'm not waiting on God.
Say, I'm not waiting on God.
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 I'm not waiting on him. He's ready. The Bible said he's ready. He's willing to perform his word. Now. Now. He's willing. Willing. You know what I see? Willing? He's ready. He's like this. He's just waiting. What is he waiting for? What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to put a demand on what he's done now. He's already done it, but he's waiting for us to pull. As soon as we get that straight to where, no, it's done, it's now, guess what happens? That's faith. That pulls it. That's the action that pulls it from that unseen realm here. It's called faith. It's called believing. Now.
Now.
Amen.